Well, this Christmas season, this Advent season, we've been talking about how God uses the ordinary things of life to tell his extraordinary story. The first week of Advent, we talked about work. What's more ordinary than work, right? But that God can use it for the extraordinary. And then the second week, we talked about places, ordinary places. And last week, ordinary relationships. So today...
Becky, what are we talking about today?
Well, it's funny you should ask, Kevin, because we're talking about... interruptions. Mm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Have you ever been interrupted? And how was that experience for you?
It was really annoying. Like, I hate when people interrupt me. Anybody else feel the same way?
It can be frustrating.
Yes, yes, yes.
We really, surprisingly, didn't have to practice hardly at all for that.
Every day.
Every day. Being interrupted for 20 years. Okay, so...
But really, we're talking about interruptions, for real.
Yes, we really are. All right, so it can be very frustrating, right? Interruptions can be frustrating. Maybe it is someone interrupting you while you're trying to talk, or maybe you had a wonderful vacation planned and it was interrupted by a snowstorm, or a presentation at school or at work and it was interrupted by some kind of a technological mishap.
Or a snow day.
We only had two interruptions in the script. Now you're making me nervous. So these interruptions are annoying, but they're fairly minor. They don't derail your whole life. But maybe in this season, or maybe this past year, you've faced more than an interruption. You've been dealing with disruption. A disruption that changes everything, that there is now a new normal that you have to adjust to. Maybe it was a major health crisis, or a job change, or the death of someone that you loved dearly. Maybe it was some other loss, a loss of a job or a relationship, maybe a loss of a home or a dream. It can be extremely overwhelming when life is disrupted. And so we're going to be taking a look at Mary's life in Luke chapter 2, and an interruption that she had to deal with that actually caused quite a disruption in the world. But as we're about to see, it was actually exactly the disruption that this world needed. Let me take a moment to pray for us. God, I pray that as we look at the story of your son's birth in Luke chapter 2, would you open our eyes to something new? I know many of us have read this story multiple times over every year of our life. And so, Lord, I just pray that in this moment, you would open up our hearts to something that maybe we've never seen, or maybe something we've known for many years, but have never lived out, never really taken a hold of. And so I just pray for your Holy Spirit to minister to each and every person here. In Jesus' name, amen.
So last week, we looked at the relationship between Mary and Joseph. And Matthew records things, but Mary's pregnancy isn't given much detail compared to that of Luke. Luke was a doctor, and so he's more detailed. And he actually writes with this detail, and he gives us more of an insight into Mary's birth plan, which has a huge interruption. Now, how many know what a birth plan is? Do you have any idea? It's kind of that game plan that you have if you're a parent, like, okay, if things were to go our way for the birth of this child, this is how we desire to go. Now, not often does that plan actually work the way we want it to. Often the due date moves a lot. But typically you have your packed bag with the things that you need when you're going to go to the hospital. You have the snacks. I know in our situation, the snacks that Becky loves and whatever she wants, whatever she needs, I'll bring it to her at that time. You have typically the cars ready to go, gassed up. You have the speed dial ready or the text thread for family members. You have the playlist. All these things are ready to go. And I imagine that Mary's birth plan included having her mom and having some close female family friends there, a midwife to help give some guidance during the process, and to be in her own home with some nice linens and some familiar sights and smells as well around the house. But as we'll see, the reality of what actually happened for Mary and her birth plan was quite different than she anticipated. It was an interruption that quickly turned into a life-changing disruption. In fact, if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at Luke's account, his insight, his detail into the birth plan that Mary had, but also the events of what happened that day. And this verse that we started in Luke chapter 2 sets the scene for what's happening in that region, in that culture of that day during Jesus' birth on that first Christmas. We heard it read by the Weatherbys earlier when they did the Advent reading, but let's look back at that text again. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Now, this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married with him to him and was expecting a child. All right, so let's stop right there. We can thank Luke for all these details, which really place Jesus' birth in a specific historical time period. It gives us context. It helps us understand why Joseph and Mary had to travel while she was pregnant, because who wants to travel extra mileage while you're pregnant? I'm not even going to speak that I know that understanding, but who wants to do that? So, see, in those days, you didn't mess with the Roman government, especially during the reign of Caesar Augustus, because he became the sole ruler of Rome and that whole world after a bloody civil war in which he empowered and overpowered all of his rivals, including the famous Mark Antony, if you know history. So Augustus turned the Roman Republic into an empire. Now listen to this. With himself as the head, referring to himself as the Son of God. Historians even referred to him as the Savior of the world. It's king, it's Lord. And so as Caesar's reign continued, people began to actually worship him. He had crazy power that he used to violently squash anyone who tried to oppose him. Isn't that interesting, those titles that he used? This is the context of that day. And all that to say, when the Roman government said jump, the people said how high? Or when they said, you need to walk or ride a donkey back to your hometown so we can gather data and collect taxes, you do it. Even though it's a big interruption to your work, to your family life, and to Mary and Joseph's birthing plan. Now, this annoying interruption is about to turn into something that's a significant disruption.
Mm-hmm. We're going to continue the story in Luke chapter 2, verse 6, where it says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So it turns out, as Kevin was saying, that God had a different birth plan for his son Jesus. Not a warm, clean home, but a place where animals lived. Not a crib, but a manger which was used to feed livestock. Not quiet, quaint Nazareth, but the busy, overcrowded town of Bethlehem. And Mary was not surrounded with females who knew what they were doing, but just Joseph, who's inexperienced and most likely scared out of his mind. Poor Mary and Joseph must have been thinking something like, God, what are you doing? This is your plan? But what we want to talk about today is how God uses interruptions to our plans to serve his purposes. In this case, the birth of his son, Jesus, the true Savior of the world, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. And so God is working in life's interruptions. If you're taking notes, that's one of our big ideas this morning. God is working in life's interruptions. You see, Jesus needed to be born in Bethlehem to fulfill prophecy. In fact, the prophet Micah foretold that the Savior of the world would be born there. In Micah 5:2, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, it says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. And both Mark and Luke tell us that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which, as Kevin said earlier, was also known as the city of David. David's family home was there, and King David was anointed king in that city. And so by the time of Jesus' birth, it had kind of dwindled to a small village, but God still wanted his son to be born there in order to emphasize that Jesus had divine status, as the Savior of the world, as the anointed Messiah, and that he was born into royalty. He was born in the royal line of David. This was also prophesied in Jeremiah 23:5. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is right and just in the land. So these prophecies, and there are many more of them, we're only sharing two of them here with you, they're really important because they show that Jesus' birth was not just a spontaneous thing that God came up with in order to deal with this human situation on earth. It was not just an interruption. Jesus' birth was a well-planned event that God had been preparing his people for over hundreds of years. And so these prophecies kind of take us beyond this seemingly ordinary government action, a census. These prophecies kind of peel back the layer of that to show us that God uses whomever and whatever he wants for his purposes, even the government. Caesar Augustus, his plan, his purpose was to collect taxes more efficiently. But God used that census to bring Mary and Joseph to the right time at the right place for his son to be born, just as was foretold in the prophecies.
So you might be thinking to yourself, Kevin, so is every interruption from God? Certainly not. We live in a broken world. There are people that hurt, say things and do things that hurt us. We do things unintentionally or intentionally to hurt one another. That's just how the world we live in. But don't miss this. God can use every interruption. He can use even painful, hard, difficult things for his glory. He doesn't want us to go through those things, but that's, he gives us choice, and that's where the answer comes from. My point is, no matter what interruption you're facing or that you will be facing in the future, Becky mentioned already, God is working in life's interruptions, and God is with you in life's interruptions. God is working in life's interruptions, and he's with you in life's interruptions. And God was certainly with Mary and Joseph, quite literally in human form when Jesus was born, the Son of God, fully man. In fact, another name for Jesus we talked about last week is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And for us today, he is with us here, now, and everywhere we go by the power of his Holy Spirit. So what do I mean when I say God is working and he is with us in life's interruptions? Well, many of us have had plans for this past year. Maybe in December of 2023, you were looking ahead to 2024. Maybe you had goals and expectations and plans on your own. But things were interrupted or completely, for some of you, disrupted. As you think about this past year of your life, does anything come to mind? Think about it. You know, one example for us over the last year was pursuing the next space because we're actually running out of space, if you haven't noticed, in our facility here. Both services packed. Even last week, I think we had 40 people in the lobby overflow. And so we pursued Christ the King Seminary as an option, began praying about that and pursuing that as a congregation. And over the course of the last year and several months, it was looking like it was going to happen. The right conversations in the right way in the right time. But in the end, that's not what God had for us. Were we disappointed? Yes. And we still aren't sure what the next steps are, but we are continuing to pray. We're continuing to plan. We're continuing to think, trying to figure out what next steps we should take. And can I tell you, keep praying with us as we're beginning to talk more about, here's other options. In fact, this last week, we had a meeting with some of our team members. And we're saying, God, maybe this is what you were doing the whole time. Trusting that God is working, that he doesn't waste a moment, he doesn't waste time, that nothing is wasted. Even painful moments of our life, he wants to use. Amen. Hard, difficult times, he wants to use, because that's how he works.
Amen.
And so God used our team to help us discern what his will is. One of the ways that God speaks is through people who know him and love him. And so God is using us, using our teams, discerning this process, and he is helping, and he has helped, and he will continue to help us trust him more to know what steps to take. So keep praying for us as we have something in mind again. We'll let you know as we go. as we talk to more of our team members and more of you. But with that, I just want to say this, that followers of Jesus are not exempt from interruptions or disruptions. The difference is that God uses everything. Like I said, he doesn't waste anything. And that God is with us and he's guiding us by the power of his Holy Spirit in and amidst life's interruptions. The question I have for you is, do you believe this? Do you believe that God is with you and that he's working in the interruptions and even the disruptions of your life? Because let's go back to Mary's story for a moment. God was with her through her relative, Elizabeth. Elizabeth also had a dream. Right? Like her husband, Zechariah, had a dream in that family. You're going to have a child. And one day in your old age, you're even going to have a child. He's going to prepare the way. Are you kidding me? And now she can relate with Mary as well. And so Mary spent a significant amount of time with her. And Elizabeth was able to find a place with Mary for Mary to have a safe place to process the unexpected events of her life. God thought about every detail, what she needed, what Elizabeth needed, what she needed. And so Elizabeth meets Mary with open arms, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Notice how Mary responds when she meets Elizabeth, her aunt, with a sound of praise known as Mary's song, or we call it the Magnificat. And notice the song of praises for God, because in the midst of the interruptions, he brings about the birth of his son. Interruptions not just to their family, but also to the way the world would be functioning once Jesus entered into our world. Listen to this, Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." I just want to pause and just recognize Mary's great faith, that even though she's dealing with an unexpected pregnancy, as probably a teenager was what she was, outside of marriage, she still believes that it's a part of God's plan, that he is still good, that he will use this, and she gives him praise for it. What a great example of faith. And she continues, listen for the interruptions that she mentions in our world. Verse 50 says that God, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation, that he has performed mighty deeds with his arm, that he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, that he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble, that he has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors.
So remember when earlier we had said that Jesus would bring disruption, but it was the disruption that our world needed. You know, Jesus came to shake things up, not to maintain the status quo. The status quo wasn't working. The status quo was broken and dark and sinful. And so as Kevin read, his birth scattered the proud and brought down mighty rulers. He came to feed the hungry, but often sent the rich away disappointed. He came to be a help and to be a mercy to this teeny, tiny little nation under Roman oppression, just as he had promised. And so Jesus' birth was a disruption that would flip everything on its head. He flipped how we keep track of time. He's the turning point of history. And since his birth, death, and resurrection, he has been flipping the ways of the world on its head to bring about his kingdom, his purpose. And by the way, his purpose will not fail. He will not fail. It's not always easy. It's not always easy for us as his followers, especially when we find, oh goodness, we're a part of the things that he's trying to disrupt, that he's trying to flip on our heads. Sometimes our own hearts need to be flipped around a little bit to bring about his kingdom, not just in the world, but in our own self, in our own inner being. So it's not always easy, and it's not always in our timing, is it? It is much slower. But 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness, which is a polite way of saying you people, including me. God is not slow. He is patient, not wanting any to perish, but he wants to give everyone the opportunity to repent, to respond to him. And so for Mary, going back to her story, this interruption of traveling on a donkey while so pregnant, this interruption or disruption really of giving birth in what we would consider disgusting conditions, all because of the stupid government, was not easy. But the circumstances of Jesus' birth were orchestrated by God so that we could know through Mary's story, through her witness, her testimony, that God is with us in the interruptions and in the disruptions, that he is with us in those low times when things are not going the way we planned. You ever been there? That he's with us in those frustrating places that feel way beneath us, where we find ourselves thinking, I'm better than this. I should be further along than where I am. He is with us in those situations and experiences where we expect something, it falls way below our expectations, and we find ourselves with this crushing disappointment.
Yeah.
Mary could not see how it was all going to work out in the end. If she would have seen the cross at that point, I don't know what would have happened. She can't see all the details, but still, as Kevin read to us, she still declares that God is faithful. Church, can we do the same this morning? Knowing that it's not going to be easy, knowing it's not going to be in our timing, knowing that we don't have all the details for how all of this is going to work out, but knowing and trusting and having faith that it will work out because his promises will not fail. Can we say, as Mary did, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior? That's where the joy is.
Yeah.
That's where the joy is. And I know that Christmas is a mixed bag of emotions for most of us, because it is all about family and it's all about togetherness and it's all about love. And if there is just 1 ounce of disconnectedness in any of those things, it's hard. But yet we're supposed to be joyful. So we paste a smile on and we go around saying Merry Christmas, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I want us to acknowledge that in this moment, Mary had a mixed bag of emotions. She was facing her first pregnancy unwed in a society that really frowned on that, like death penalty frowned on that. And she's still able to say, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Now, I know that none of us are physically birthing Jesus onto earth like Mary did. That was a special role just for her. But we have the opportunity to bring him into places, into our workplaces. We have the opportunity to bring him into our homes and whatever family gatherings you have coming up this week. You have the opportunity to bring him into your neighborhoods, into your relationships, into your shopping habits and your giving habits. You have the opportunity to bring him into your past hurts and failures and your future dreams and hopes, because guess what? He's already there. And we have the opportunity through the power of his spirit to exist and to operate in such a way where we're able to proclaim Jesus. Where we're able to make people think about things in a different way, or just stop and be curious about us and ask questions about where our joy comes from, even when we have other emotions in the mix. And so one thing that we can learn from Mary, one thing that we can learn from this Christmas story, is that in ordinary interruptions and those life-altering disruptions, God is working toward his purposes, and God is with you. Yes. He is with you.
Hallelujah.
Let me pray for us as we take all of this in. God, man, I don't even know sometimes how to process that you came, that you gave up the glory of heaven, that you were the only person ever to choose to be born.
It.
that you made that choice because you've existed since creation. It is through you that God created things. Jesus, you are the living word, and you chose to be born as a human to live the human experience just as we did, except for one thing, that you remained sinless so that you could be the sacrificial lamb on our behalf. I still don't know how to fully process that, Lord. I'm still figuring out the implications of that in every aspect of my life. But as I do, and as my congregation does, as your church, your body, your bride does, Lord, you are with us. Everywhere we go, every situation we face, I pray that that knowledge would make it into the very inner being of our soul, into the marrow of our bones, so that we know, though we don't know all of the details of how things will work out, that you're with us, that your plans will prevail, that we can in that find the hope, find the joy that never fades, because you and no one else, you are the Savior of the world. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the Son of God. And no other human leader can compare to you. And so we declare this morning, we put our hope and our trust and our faith in you alone. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing our last song.
Will.